I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hope. Despair. Charity. Greed. Duty. Power.
Ugh.
What?
Hello and welcome to Play Retro, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson, your host. And boy, howdy, I have to scroll up. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and my arms look like blue Popeye.
Oh, no, what have you been eating? And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I never miss Mega Leg Day. Just look at my size 24s of my anime boots as I jump like a ballerina. Hi-ya.
Oh, I hate how he jumps in the early games.
I know, it's so weird.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Some people love it. In fact, mad when they changed it. And
yeah.
They still are mad, I think. I think they're still...
I got a little upset myself because I was like, hey, look, I had to play a lot of Mega Man, too, and I'm really invested here. Don't go changing now.
Yeah.
Don't go changing now,
We Mega both Man. Played a lot of Mega Man this week, and it turns out there's more Mega Man than any one person could ever play in a week. There's a lot, man.
Good Lord, there's so much Mega Man. Yeah. We had to narrow it down.
There's so just many. That's the Mega. That's where the Mega comes from, I guess. The Man right. part. Well, if you're in Japan, you were Rockman.
Rockman.
We'll get to all that and why. It's another fascinating choice of words. I don't know why Rockman versus Mega Man or what the problem was there. But
We're going to talk about that, and it's a shame that all those great puns from Rockman get lost on the American audience. But we'll dive deep into that. Yeah.
Before we do that, I got to tell you a couple things. I have been obsessed with Pokemon Pinball on the Game Boy Advance. Obsessed with it. And I remember it from back in the day, and it's fine and whatever, but I think it fell off it kind of quick. It's kind of my current obsession, and it got me all into like pinball video game stuff all week. Anyway, I've been like tracking down old stuff and finding those weird, TurboGrafx-16, famous. They were famous for having some pretty good, games, pretty good pinball games. Boy, I'm
pinballs,
doing great
yeah,
today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, pinball's awesome. And this game is basically, you know, all themed around Pokemon, but not just a pinball game themed around Pokemon. You're actually playing to try to capture and build out your roster of Pokemon or Pokemon. And I'm not even a Pokemon guy. I don't even care that much. I don't know most of their names or whatever.
It doesn't show at all.
Yeah.
My Pokemon's men. Do you know what I mean?
My monsters.
You throw the ball things.
Yeah. And the ball in the pinball game is an actual Pokeball, which is cool.
Right. Right.
And cool. Capturing creatures takes a bunch of stuff you have to do with pinball skills instead of, you know, regular RPG freaking Game Boy skills. And it's great.
All you ever catch is Pidgey.
I catch. I've only gotten two dupes, but it wasn't Pidgey. What was it? Don't remember. Some kind of clam looking thing. Forgot the name.
How about any flopping fish? Did you see any flopping
no,
fish?
No, I know what those are. Those are Magikarps. Those are cool.
Magikarps.
Yeah. I don't have that.
The most useless but most fun Oh, yeah. Of all the Pokemon.
Look, everyone loves a good Magikarp. I haven't even caught one of those yet, but I did catch another fish for fish something that turned into a shark thing with the evolution.
Okay.
And you do that with like, oh, I get to evolve one now. What do I have to do? You got to be real smart with your pinball aiming and hit these little XP points and you get it all done. And then boom, you can evolve your creature into the higher end one. And the whole goal is just like, you know, they got the whole 150 slot Pokedex and you're playing pinball to catch them all. And it's got its claws in me so hard. I freaking love that game. It's really good. So
how are you emulating that? How you putting emulation on that?
That one I'm just running on both the AmberNIC and what's the other one? Oh, just on my Mac here on what's it called? I forget the name of that thing.
So you don't have a Game Boy Advance currently? Is that
no?
Is that kind
I, well,
of
I do. I have an SP over there that won't charge. I don't have a cable for it to even have it run on power, and I have the cartridge over there too. So I own everything I need except it won't run. So I have to
do it
over here.
Your SP won't charge, man. Let me send it to me so I'll look at my 2DS XL I have. New Jersey.
What'd you do there? How'd you get that going?
Oh, I've had this for a little while. I love this thing. This is one of my favorites. It is so slick, this 2D SL. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
I didn't know they clamshelled that thing. I thought the only 3DS did. Is it clamshell? Oh, man.
Look at that.
I did like
that. Love it.
I liked the 3DS, 2DS thing. It was a good time.
I did too. I the 3DS is kind of pointless. That's the reason why I went the 2DS XL, because it's like, the 3DS was cool and all, but I never used it. So I,
You mean the 3D? You just turn it down?
The 3D part. Yeah, the little pulley thing. Yeah, I never used that. I'm like, this is something else to break.
I used it with Super Mario Land 3D, whatever it was called.
And that
had some stuff in there that used 3D to pretty good effect, but wasn't even then it wasn't like required.
Right.
So they never required that gimmick because there are too many people that would get fuzzy eyes from it. It was just too weird. And I don't mean hair on their eyes. Okay. I don't mean hair. I mean,
right. Look, Nintendo's been known to do some crazy crap and sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, it's like, okay, I'm just going to move on now.
It's totally fine. You've been working on some hardware stuff. What'd you do this week?
I forgot to say
one last thing. Sorry. Oh. My Steam Deck gets here on Friday.
Yes, I'm so excited. Look, I usually don't allow my friends to acquire things that are cooler than me, but I'm gonna allow it.
You're gonna let this one go? I was on reserve.
I'm happy for you.
I was on reserve from the 16th of July last year. That's how long my reserve's been in. And it finally came through. So it's getting here this week, and I have a few plans to load it up with like stuff I just can't wait to play on there, but also I'm going to get it going with the old, ye old retro business.
Ooh, yeah. You're already getting some love in the chat room. And people are going to send you some information on how to make that thing retro, because that is a big draw for the Steam Deck. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I keep hearing from people it's their favorite piece of handheld retro hardware. So,
yeah.
Which is hilarious because, most people are buying it so they can play Control or some modern game on it. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine and all. But you know what I really want?
I don't have a Steam Deck yet, but I have a feeling that it would be just like everything else. I don't think playing modern games will be all that fun. We've seen a lot of handheld devices that allow you to hook into your Steam over the years that allow you to play modern games through it. And it's usually is like, oh, but I really need a mouse and keyboard for a lot of this stuff that I'm playing. And so I disagree
because, and I'll say I'm excited about both, but I use my controller on my PC so much more than I do my keyboard and mouse. In fact, I'm starting to play, if the game allows me to do a mouse and keyboard, or excuse me, a controller, I prefer it. I'd rather do that.
Even on a first-person shooter? That's the thing. I play mostly first-person shooters on my PC, whereas I play other things on my consoles.
Well, that's because you are stuck in the damn 90s, man. You're still quaking it. That's what you're doing. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. All I'm saying is I'll play keyboard and mouse games, of course. But if it's like a single, and if it's multiplayer, I'll go mouse and keyboard with a shooter. But if I'm doing, single player game of some sort that's a shooter, totally fine with a controller. Zero issue.
All right. I can't wait to destroy you in every shooter ever.
Yeah. But I'm going to play games like, Rogue Legacy 2. I cannot wait to play that.
Yes. See, now that would be good.
Oh, my gosh. I would enjoy that. There's, in fact, speaking of pinball, there's this pinball game called... what's the freaking thing called? Devil's Anus or something.
Oh, yeah, the Devil's Anus. That's my Devil's, favorite. It's hot.
Devil's something. Anyway, it's kind of a spiritual modern successor to those old ones I was talking about on the TurboGrafx. But anyway, that's a big, beautiful thing, and it works on there. Like, there's tons of stuff I'm so excited about.
Oh, I know. There's going to be, but I really, all I can see is retro games when I see the Steam Deck. It just seems like the perfect format. It just seems perfect.
It probably is. And you got enough storage on there to do that, plus everything else you want to do. Like, it's just going to work.
Everything. So you could fit the whole Atari collection, like, in half a megabyte. It's crazy.
Yeah. Atari.
Speaking
sucks.
Of Atari.
Yeah. Atari sucks. Go ahead.
No, Atari doesn't suck. Atari 2600. So, you know, we played that Pitfall the other week, and I was really having a lot of fun with that. And I finally got my Atari 2600 in and Pitfall, but I can't hook it up to my RCA 2000 color track because it requires me to go from a 300 ohm, the flat two prongers that you plugged into the VHS. Mm-hmm. It needs to go down to the 75 ohm, which is your cable connector. And I've been on a hunt. I can't find anything local, and I hit the eBays, and I've hit the Amazons, and I've bought nothing but trash. I bought one, and I it was halfway busted open. Here's a little deal here. You may remember these. These are those little push plug coaxial things.
Yeah.
You just plug it in the back, and then there's like there's the two prongs on the the front side. You plug in your old style connector.
Yep.
Well, the problem is these things are fairly easy to make, but whoever's making them, it's trash on the inside, man. And every time I try to plug it in, including this one and my Odyssey 2, it's just staticky. It's just really, really staticky. So I've actually ordered some Philips, officially branded old school leftover Philips adapter.
Yeah.
The brand Philips.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping when those arrive, I can finally freaking make use of my Odyssey 2 and my Atari 2600.
You know what's cool about Philips stuff? They last forever. I was just thinking the other day, I was using the Philips, I forgot the name of it, but it's their electric toothbrush that they make. Their famous one.
Yes.
that thing, I've had that core body and the stand that it charges in and all that stuff. I've had that thing for, we'll see, 2012.
Right.
So how many years is that? 10 years. I've had that for 10 years.
Math, quick math. Easy.
Never lost its charge. Use it every single day. Works as perfectly as the day it started. This is true of their light bulbs, their smart bulbs, everything Philips ever made. Oh, I have a shaver, like a beard shaver. Thing never croaks on me. I've had like three or four other brands go to shit, and that one doesn't. Right. It's awesome. So all I'm saying is, what's going on at Philips? They're not even a Japanese brand where everything never breaks. It's some European thing, and they live forever. It's great.
I'm hoping it's going to be fantastic. Like I said, I don't know what third world sweatshop they made some 4-year-old wind this wire around this stupid this core, but they get out of here. I don't even know how you sell this stuff. I wrote like a terrible review, and I sent the first ones back. They sent me, and I ordered a different one with a different picture from a different company entirely. Came back, same freaking thing.
Oh, man.
Same exact item.
Sorry. Like,
get out of here.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer. Look at this. I'm so excited about playing my Odyssey. Look at that thing. Oh, remember these little Odyssey cards? I remember the Odyssey too.
Yeah, look at that thing. It had a big handle on it. It's like, boy, you're going to want to travel around and carry that around. So put a handle on it.
Right. A little panel. Carry with my lunch.
If you guys, so people at home who can't see this, you know how your GameCube has a handle on it? These cartridges kind of have a handle like that.
It's like the same shape as, like, it's very close to an Atari 2600 cart, but it has a little handle on it, so you can, which is good because you think, well, that's dumb, but not really. It's for pulling and pushing out through the slot. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. I don't care for their little hidden recess thing they have on these things though that hides the. That hides the contacts.
It's to keep the pins clean, right? Isn't that the idea? Is to keep the pins clean and keep the dust out?
It's supposed to keep the pins clean.
Doesn't, though.
Supposed to.
Yeah.
Supposed to.
Nothing actually works in that regard except blowing.
Well,
you got
to
blow.
In reference to that also, I didn't show you my last week. I didn't show you this last week. Hyperkim has this. Did I show you this last week? This Hyperkim joystick.
No, with the light up buttons. Look at that.
It doesn't actually light up, but it's very glowy. It's very glowy. I wish it did light up.
They look like they're lit. That's crazy. Okay.
Yes. It's an Atari 2600 is a controller type. But it has two buttons on top, and it's got two buttons on the front where your start and select. It's got a couple of, the front ones are like shoulder buttons. And then it's got a start and select on the back. So it's got all the buttons you would need for a modern controller, but it's in the format of an Atari 2600 controller. And I like everything about it, but I am kind of bummed that the stick isn't more stiff. Because, you know, the Atari 2600 sticks were really stiff. And this is kind of loose, and it's probably a good thing, but not in my mind. It's not stiff enough. It's not going to give me blisters.
You want the old school effect. I get it.
That's right. I want to feel like I'm 8 again. Yeah. 10. How old was I?
10. 8?
10.
You were 8 because I would have been 10, right?
That's right.
A couple years older like that. Than you. Yeah. Wait, mm-hmm. Without telling me, how old are you this year?
I am 50, Scott.
Whoa.
I am 50.
So you are. You're just 2 years younger than me. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. I'm old enough to stick this up my bum and call it a colonoscopy. That's right.
Well, you're supposed to do those at 45, but hey, never too late.
I thought the same thing, and I was like, not to get too far off track here, but old people who like playing retro games, one day you'll have something stuck up your butt, but if you're lucky. And I had to, yeah, like as they said 45, and then I went to my doctor, and he's like, nah, they say 50 now. I was like, okay.
Well, they told me, I just talked to him the other day, and they said 45. I said, well, I had one at 45. So he goes, you're fine until you're 55 then.
Well, your doctor does a lot of weird things.
My doctor does do weird things. You're right. I got 2 shots on the same arm last week, so who knows what the hell that was about.
In the same hole. I love it.
In the same hole.
Do we have time to mention one more thing?
Yeah,
I don't want to get too far off Mega Man because we got a huge bunch of Mega Man stuff to cover. But I did get in my Raspberry Pi Picos. I don't know if you've seen these or not.
Oh, are they starting to ship again? Because they were hard to get there for a bit.
These are the new Pico boots that just came out recently. And so it's just a little chip there and about the size of an old laptop memory. And you can wire this thing in, not too difficult to do. You can wire this into your GameCube and then you can boot from this connect a SD card on the bottom side of your GameCube, and you can play region free, and you can play all those.
So
SD
wait a minute, why GameCube in particular? Would this be any other console? Like, what is it?
This may work for other consoles. This is kind of a multi-purpose device. It's a Raspberry Pi Pico. But I bought 3 of them because I have 3 GameCubes that I do want to modify, and it's going to, so I'm not sure what all that does. I do know that it does do some other things because I know that just today I seen someone was able to hook up wireless connectivity to their GameCube so they could transfer via this Pico, they could transfer ROMs wirelessly. And also they were talking about controlling their LEDs because there's LED mod you can do to your GameCube. And light up and change the colors on it. I'm like, holy Moses, I'm modding soon.
So why
it's coming?
So I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, that mod, the GameCube mod scene must be the ones embracing this. Cause obviously Raspberry Pi didn't make this just for GameCubes, right? It's meant to be for small format, you know,
exactly
similar Raspberry Pi needs. Yeah.
What else would it do? I don't know.
Huh.
All I know is it fits my needs and people were excited. And last time I missed out. So I was like, I'm ordering it now.
Yeah, these are available. Amazon's got them in stock right now. 14 bucks is all. Jeez.
And I ordered 3 in a time. I think there were like 20 something like with 3 at a time. So, but don't tell everybody because I want to buy more. No,
If you want these remaining 7, you better get on it. Okay. Well, that's cool. Look at you doing rad shit over there.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. Well, let's do rad stuff here.
Shall we play a game?
And everybody, my plan will be by next Tuesday is I will have enough stuff installed on there. Like, I don't know, as much retro stuff as I can on that Steam Deck next week. So I can kind of speak to it.
And when's it coming in?
Friday. But here's the problem. I got a birthday thing this weekend. And I don't know what that's going to be like.
You're sick.
So maybe I'm sick. Yeah. Hey, honey, I'm pretty sick.
All I feel like doing is laying in the bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring me my Steam Deck.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
I will not lie. Okay. Also, I keep hearing such good things about the way they're updating it. Like they're constantly.
Yeah, they finally have a piece of hardware that is very successful. They've tried to get into the hardware biz a couple of times, and It always seems like it doesn't quite take off. This has been a pretty big success as far as from the outside.
Yeah, I can't tell. I don't know what the actual, but I don't know what all the numbers are, but I think they're having a quite the moment here with this with the Steam Deck. Yeah. It's working out for
them. They're getting the kudos right now. I don't know if they're getting the monies, but they're definitely getting the kudos.
Now, let's fill our ears with the sounds of difficulty. The music you're hearing right here is the introduction to Mega Man, or if you were in Japan, Rock Man, the 1987 release, I think Japan initially and then here, but of Mega Man 1 for the Nintendo Entertainment System or Famicom system in Japan. And man, it's one of a billion of these, and I still think it's the hardest of all of them.
I'm going to agree with you 100% because this is bullshit hard. It really is.
Yeah, it really does. It grabs you by the nipple and won't let off. It's a real pain in the arse, I think, this game. And I tried to play it this week and give it some real, you know, real effort. Like, I didn't half-A this thing. Oh, whoops, why is that playing?
You gave it the cookie mama.
I gave it a real effort, yeah. And it was it was hard, man. I don't know how to explain Mega Man 1. It's hard I know people who like speedrun it and love it for its difficulty, and I respect those people, and I respect people who beat the challenge and can go back to it and rip through it again. Like, all of that stuff I think is rad.
I disagree.
I can't play like this game. It's just so hard. It's so hard.
You know, it really is. It encapsulates Mega Man 1 encapsulates most of my experiences with Mega Man, which is me just going, ooh, look, a new Mega Man. I'm so excited. And then I'll play it for about, 30 minutes or so. And I'm like, oh, these are always too hard. I always forget that these are hard. And this is just the beginning. Mega Man's action platforming, difficult as all get out. Right away, you're thinking like, if you're thinking like me, you're like, oh, I'm still in the Mario mode. So it's like, I don't want to get hit. I don't want to get any damage. I'm doing a platformer, action platformer. I don't want to get hit. But you're going to get hit. There's no way to avoid taking damage, which luckily is not like a one hit, you die as you got this life bar. But it's just so frustrating because I'm so used to doing stuff like, okay, I'm going to avoid this area and I can complete this area without taking damage. Not in Mega Man. I don't know how people do it if they ever. Can you even make it past the first area without getting some damage? Is that even possible?
According to some speedrunners I've seen some of them do it. Who knows if they're using, I can't verify these videos and whether or not they're hacks or what, but I will say that, the grand tradition of those days, those early days of the NES platformers, were that they were all disgustingly hard. That was a hallmark of that era. So if you were going to get into a platformer, even the original Mario Brothers, you were going to get a game that was brutal on where you had to restart and when. They didn't have saves back then, and you were lucky if they had a password system. That was super rare. And so what you ended up doing is just punishing yourself, and that was the game, and it's okay. I'm in high school playing these games and going, man, I'm better than this than I thought. Well, okay, that's a different time for me. Like, I can't
plus
play that, like,
yeah,
that.
it was all about, hey, can I do better than my friend? It wasn't about which for me, that's how it was, especially with these early games. It wasn't necessarily about me completing something. It was just about me being better than my friend.
Yeah.
As long as I could beat as long as you can outrun the bear, it doesn't matter, right?
Right. Now,
as long as you outrun your friend,
I think
you should outrun the bear as well.
I think these games, including the original NES lineup and even more so the SNES games, which we'll get to in a bit, they had a baseline of these are fun to play. And I liked how he jumped. I like how he ran. I liked the shooting, although it was only left and right, no up or down until much later some of that was introduced. But in those early days, it was just run, jump, shoot, no double jump. That's what you had.
Stupid jump animation too. I'm sorry. That's just...
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. And people love it though, because like when you go into a boss room... If the game didn't let you do that dumb jump and then freeze like that while the screen transitioned, people would get mad. They'd be like,
oh yeah,
this isn't Mega Man if you don't have that jumping animation in there.
We hear Mario all the time when he goes, woo, when he does the jump. Mega Man actually does the jump that looks like the sound.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this, that's what, if you can imagine Mario's sound, that's what Mega Man's jump looks like. Cause he looks like he's like trying to jump over like a snake that's coming at him or something. Cause he just kind of like throws, he's going for height more than anything. He's not really going for, you know, trying to jump forward. It's just like straight up. Woohoo.
Yep. Exactly right. Here's his fight with, let's see, is this Rockman? Who's he fighting? No, Bomb Man. Of course, yes. Not Rockman.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yeah.
Is the name of the game for Mega Man. Is you're always trying to beat a boss so you can copy his weapon, so then you can go beat another boss who is weak.
Yeah.
To
and
that
you
attack.
And you were it, you would hear from your friends at school like, oh, do what's his name first, because that was the weird thing about the game, and one of the unusual things I think the innovations about the game was that you didn't do a linear beginning. You would go in and say, all right, well, where do I want to start? Which guy do I kill first? Yeah. That was weird then. Nobody else was doing that.
Yeah, it was. It was because, plus there was no save system, so it was kind of good because you didn't have to start all over again completely, like from level one.
Right.
You just, you had six bosses to choose from. They weren't really, they were robots. Well, they didn't call them bosses. They called them, anyway.
They're men.
They were yeah, they were basically, they were bosses though. Let's face it, that's what they
They're
were.
Bosses, they're bosses, and they were yeah. different. Like I said, there's Rockman, there's, not Rockman. I keep saying Rockman. No, it is Rockman.
He's Rockman. Man. Yeah, well, he's Rockman, but you fight people like Scissor Man.
Who am I thinking of?
He's
not Rockman. Bomb Man's what I'm thinking of. Sorry,
I just called him Scissor Man. He's Cut Man. This is the problem when you rename stuff.
Yeah,
when you rename stuff from overseas, it gets confusing.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, but like regionalization of naming and stuff is so freaking strange. Yeah. But anyway, here's a fight with Bomb Man. It's your, you know, 8-bit chaos noise.
Yeah, yeah.
But it had its, you know, it had a vibe. It was
a lot going on, right?
Yep, yep. And this is Capcom, right? So Capcom was like, man, we want a piece of this 8-bit world that Konami's trying to dominate.
Yeah.
We're going to make a thing that's huge and make a giant franchise out of it. And then we're going to bleed it so dry that we're going to make some horrible mistakes later. And it's going to be a piece of shit for a while. We'll get to that later, but Mega Man has seen some rough points in its life, bad ones.
Mega Man was kind of like the Spice Girls. It was fabricated, mm-hmm. in a way that was like, okay, let's start out with what do we want to do? Let's make some characters that are kind of anime. We know we want a platformer because that's what's working right now, and so they just poured in all the right mixture, and then was it Kiji Inafune?
Inafune.
Yeah. He laid all this out. He's more of a designer, like visual designer, right? And so, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it was that kind of the look of it was mostly him. And the games would retain that look, that initial look, all through the NES era stuff. The Super NES decided to make him, you know, basically a kid. I mean, he's not much of a man. He was never a man. You know what I mean?
Like, right, right. And it's odd, actually, the Mega, if you go through the, once again, Brian's done a deep dive on Mega Man. This is not stuff that is long-term knowledge. This is stuff that I've discovered over this past week. Apparently, Mega Man in the first, you know, the classic is what they call them, 1 through 7, 8, 9. Those are the classic ones. And that's Mega Man, and he is like equivalent of a 10-year-old.
Right.
And but then the Mega Man X series, which is the stuff we're mostly going to cover, the classic and the X series, he's more of a he ages. So all of the robots in that series, they actually age. So mm-hmm. he's a little more mature.
Yeah.
In the Mega Man X series.
That is
but,
true.
I like the 10-year-old Mega Man. Fits right for me.
He's a kid. I'm showing him now in the chat. He's fine. Whatever. He's just a kid. And he's doing good.
I love Mega Man merch, though. It's okay. So there was something that all that blue with Mega Man, because that was like one of the color palettes that you really could work with on the NES. They had a lot of blues, and all that blue just made him just very interesting. And I love Mega Man merch. I will buy a Mega Man merch right now.
Would you now?
He's just so fun to look at. Yeah, I would. Anime is crap.
I drew a very, here's a pissy boss, by the way. I'm looking at video now. There's literally a boss that assembles by big chunks have been flying in from the other side of the screen. Let me go back a little here.
Which one is this? Which guy is this?
I forget what boss it is or what part of it is, but I remember this just pissing me off because look, for you're not even fighting the boss yet, but you're going to die because of these chunks of lava body coming through the screen.
Chunk man.
Yeah. And he's not even like a boss yet. Now he's a boss and now his chunks leave and reassemble on the other side of the screen. It's the worst. It's just the worst. And this guy's only not dying because he's done this 1,000 times on this video. If you're at home and it's your first time in, you're done, dude. You're dead.
You're done.
Yeah.
But that's the good thing about it, right? I mean, that's the thing about the Mega Man. It's challenging. But the first one's too hard. That's bullshit hard.
I'm going to call it. You know what? Bullshit hard's the right term. You already got it.
It's wrong. That's not right, man. It's too much.
It is too much. If you
robot
win, though,
masters.
When you beat a boss, though, you're greeted with this lovely sound.
Yes.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yes, and then you copy that fool's his power.
Yeah.
And you put it in your little. Your little hand cannon, right?
Yep. It's your hand cannon. And
and then you can use that power later to rock, paper, scissors your way right to success.
That's exactly right. And these games sold like crazy, and they came out pretty quickly. 87, 89, 3 came out in 90, number 4 came out in 91. 4 was interesting. Which one brought the slide? Was it 2, 3? I don't remember.
I think that was the slide was.
I played the one that had the slide this week, but I don't remember which one it was. I want to say it was maybe 3.
I think it was 3. We got the. It seems like it was because that's when you had to go against that stupid Doc Robot as well. He was the one that always brought on the Robot Master's powers from Mega Man 2 into 3.
Yeah,
you're at this. It's such a pain.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe not, because that's when you got the rush coil as well, though. So I'm not sure.
In 3? Oh, you might be right. I know 4 had the Mega Buster.
Right. The Mega Buster where you could do a charge up in number 4. Yeah. And that's my favorite. That finally made things, in my opinion, they finally got the difficulty and the power.
I feel like if they made a Mega Man game today, like a brand new one, you would automatically have things like aim anywhere and shoot anywhere, double jump on everything. You would have a default, or very quickly you would acquire a double jump.
you would piss off so many Mega fans. You would be.
It's fine with me. Like, precious as it is, being locked into this this very stringent only shoot right or left. Anything over your head, you better jump just right to kill it. Like. That's all fine, but it just goes in the face of modern games, and it feels weird to not have those additions.
Yeah, they seem like such. Yeah, at the time when the first one came out, I mean, when in 1987 when we're looking at Mega Man 1, I understood, because we weren't really doing a lot of those things. You know, we did not necessarily have ducks in our platformer. You didn't duck, but I tell you, I would love a duck in Mega Man 1. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to be able to duck some things, because some things are. Look out, it's Cut Man.
Yeah, this is Cut Man, or Scissor Man, as you put it, fighting Cut Man. I just think the influence the games have had on modern platformers, run-and-gun platformers, is undeniable, but those games have also learned some lessons and said, well, what about this and this. And these games just never quite did that.
Not in the classic series. The X series started picking that stuff up, right?
A little bit, yeah.
It was still slowly, but God, we was already in the freaking 90s by then. We should have been throwing everything we had at Mega Man.
That's right. Mega Man 6 was the last NES game, which came out in 94. One of the last games on the NES, actually. It was a very late comer at that time. And basically, if you played 5, you kind of played 6, so...
Yeah.
Time to move
after by the time you got to 4, I mean, it was pretty much just all the same. They had kind of tweaked out the difficulty levels. They were just giving you some new levels to play, some new bosses, because they had tons of bosses to go through. Mm-hmm. Did you learn anything this past week about the contest after Mega Man 1?
No. Tell me more. Wait, what? But tell me what? Right. What, tell me about the contest.
So after Mega Man 1, Capcom sent out a request for those for people who love Mega Man. For the second one, they were going to ask for boss characters. So they had over 8,000 entries to make 8 robot masters that appear in Mega Man 2. And so if you were 10 participants, won a staff only blassoon. That's a jacket.
Oh, a blassoon?
a blouson. I don't know how you say it. Mm. It's a blouse, essentially.
Sure.
It's a jacket, and it says staff only. 100 received a Rockman 2 original music tape. These were Japanese people, probably most. I don't know if it ever made the contest or made it to the States, but you got a music tape, Scott. I wonder how many people are still holding on to their Rockman 2 original music tape.
Music tape with actual Rockman tracks on it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sweet.
Wow.
And then 500 received seals. And besides the 8 winners, 40 participants were listed in the game's Japanese manual. So if you can find that manual, you can do that. But they were receiving entries while they were still developing 2. And they were just, you know, they were creating the they had a kind of idea that was like, okay, we need like some biomes. We need like, you know, an ice level. And if we get any characters in that kind of fit in with that, then we'll put those bosses in there. So they Capcom outsourced their work to the poor children of Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. got them all at the factory and got them going.
So what would be your Mega? Do you have a Mega Man character in head? I mean, like off the top of your head, I mean, they're pretty simple Mega Man master robots. They, you just come up with a stupid.
Oh, it wouldn't be hard at all.
Name,
right?
A single power, right?
Yeah. Just come up with something. You could do like Lasagna Man, and all he would do is like throw
Lasagna Man. Lasagna. And he hucks hot cheese, right?
I'd be into it. I would play that game.
Totally down.
Yeah. I love, I mean, part of the charm is that these are kind of stupid, you know.
Yeah, like, that's what makes them fun.
They're fun.
And then trying to also figure out you always said try to figure out, yeah, rock paper scissors are super easy. I mean, okay, what beats what, that's pretty simple. But then when you go against, you know, going against characters like Cutman's easy, okay, he's the scissors. But then there's other statements like it's like Hardman. I'm like, Hardman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to go against Hardman. And like if I do, what power
grandpa,
is that?
My grandpa's a hard man. I don't want to be a hard man. Forget it. No, you're right. But that level of silliness is what drew me to these games back in the day.
Yeah.
And I'll admit, like my excitement getting into Play Retro when we first started the show to get back to some of these kinds of games was really high at that point. And then I played them and went, ooh, I don't know that these... I mean, I know we had some really fond feelings for these early games, and I know that this is a rabid fan base. These people are pissed all the time, so I say all this very carefully, because the Mega Man people will kill you. They will cut a bitch, if you know what I'm saying.
They will cut you. They will cut you, man.
Yeah, and I don't like being cut, so I'm not here to besmirch your favorite series of all time. Just understand what I'm about to say. They're a thing of their time. And I would love to see a proper Capcom treatment of a Mega Man game today.
Right.
Now, I think part of the reason they haven't done it is because you are such stringent people about this, and you're so picky about every little thing that if they make one, none of you are going to be fully satisfied, and then no one can have anything nice anymore. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like Star Wars. There's Star Trek. There's so many sub-genres of Mega Man being, you know, Mega Man Classic, which is where I like. I like Mega Man Classic, even if it is a pain in the ass. I love the simplicity of it. Mega Man X gets a little bit loud for me. I'm an old man, and I'm not down with it.
Yeah.
We'd have to find a way. You'd have to find a way. Man, we don't even get out of the 2000s. Hardly before. And we don't even talk about all the Mega Man after that and all the stuff he's done in the Mega Man Soccer. We're not even going to get to it.
No, that
don't
was
even
a
think
thing.
About it.
I forgot
Stop
about that. About Actually, it. I think Mega Man Soccer's all right. I think it's okay.
It's okay. It's a good soccer game.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Little arcade soccer
Mega
game.
Man.
And I'd be fine with that. If they want to branch out and do other ideas with Mega Man, great. I just think there's some opportunity there. Don't be afraid, Capcom. Quit being chicken shit about it. Get it done. Once you fix your Street Fighter problem, which it sounds like 6 might well do that, this
what
is your...
What are you doing, Capcom?
Do this. Do this next. I did play, so that Marvel versus Capcom game, Marvel versus Capcom 2, has Mega Man in it. And that's weird because, you know, you when you think of Mega Man, you think of that little tiny dude.
Yeah.
In that fighting game, he's like the size of a regular fighting character. So like a big guy, you know, with his cannon hand and everything. And it's really, really disconcerting. But I'm fine with that, too. Cross him over. Get him in.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I really, like I said, a Mega Man classic. I like that Astro Boy look. I like all that stuff. Once it gets into the more attitude-y Mega Man, I'm like, I don't need an attitude Mega Man. I like just, you know, he's trying to save the world. He's against the Robot Masters, who are not even bad. The Robot Masters aren't even bad. They've just been reprogrammed by Dr. Wily. And I'm like, that's the Mega Man I want. Are you more that? Or are you more X? You like all the
action? I like the X, but I will admit most of it is because I just think the graphic treatment is better, and that's all. That's
so much better. Yeah. Side-scrolling.
It just looked better. That was a real showcase for SNES games for me. I thought it looked amazing at the time, and it still looks pretty good. I think it holds up, and in some ways, it's the template that other action retro-looking games, even modern ones, they all kind of they kind of remind me of that. Nice fluid animations. Cool parallax scrolling, like that's my main reason. But the whole like getting all edgy and teenagery, I'm with you. I think it's a little too up its own butt once it got to the X series, which we'll get to in a second. But I wanted to at least touch on the Wily Wars thing that happened on the Genesis. The Genesis, people always say, "What about the Genesis version? There was never one." No, there was sort of. It was called the Wily Wars, and here's what that sounded like. Sound chip. I love that sound chip now. I used to hate it. I love it now. It's like tin. It's like everything's made out of tin, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
And I love how they marketed this too, because it was Mega Man, the Wily Wars. It was Mega Man 1 through 3 with an enhanced color palette, because we're, you know, we're on a Sega Genesis here. Why not? Mm. A little bit different music, a little more like you just heard. Yeah. I like that. But the story is, Dr. Wily goes back in time to replay his greatest losses. They didn't call it like that, but that's the way I called it. Yep. Dr. Wily got his trash kicked in 1 through 3.
Yeah, he did. He got beat pretty bad.
Yeah, he got beat pretty bad.
So you and Professor Dumbass, what's the professor's name? I always forget the freaking name.
Professor, Professor No Open Mouth.
Yeah.
Santa Claus. Yeah. That's Dr. Light.
Light,
in the Japanese. The Japanese word is Dr. Right. There's a lot of Japanese puns that we didn't get to enjoy here because we decided to rename Rockman into Mega Man.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But Dr. Light, he was the good guy. But he was actually modeled after Santa, which was kind of something they did a pretty good bit in Japanese anime for younger kids. Mm-hmm. They wanted something that was non-threatening. Mm-hmm. And what's more loving and, you know, approachable for kids than Santa?
Sure. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Stand.
So as you can see here, I'm showing the chat, there's a menu selection. You choose which Mega Man game, but you're playing the old Mega Man games.
Yeah.
That's what this was. It wasn't original.
Pretty much. The color's a lot better, though. We saw some of the video from the original. Very limited color palette on the NES, mostly blues. And here we got this full...
Yeah, it was a full color palette. Also, I think they may have had some parallax work and some stuff on the levels. Let's see. I can actually tell you right away when he starts running here. Yeah, they did actually add that, so you can see it right here in this game. So they were like remasters, remakes, kind of. If I was to give a shit about 1 and 2 and 3 again, I'd probably play it here. It's probably where I'd do it.
Yeah, I think if you've never played any Mega Man, you've always been curious about it. If you want to get a taste of the retro-ness of it, I'd probably play this one first, because 1 through 3 on the NES is fine for hardcore if you got some nostalgia for it, but I think it plays a little bit better here.
Now, let's discuss the following problem. Well, you know what? Okay, before we do that, the X games. This started in 93, so you had a bit of a crossover. That 94 Mega Man 6 thing happened over on the NES still, but the Super Nintendo is out by now for a few years, and Mega Man X, which hit in 1993, was the one everybody was super jazzed about. This was going to be the next generation Mega Man. It's the one that introduced kind of the more, I don't know, angsty teen take on the characterization and stuff. again, fine, whatever, your mileage may vary, but this one I think is just a more playable, fun game. I like it more than the 8-bit games. And yeah. I think that's because there's just, I don't know, a tighter control, the animation's super fluid, you can climb walls, sort of.
Yeah.
The slides included, like, right from the get-go, mm-hmm. I think it's one.
Yeah, it is. I think you're right. Correct.
I think X1 did have that. I don't know. It just felt like the more complete thing.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to besmirch your point about story and how there's a simplicity to the original stuff. I totally agree with that. And I didn't need it to be edgy. But outside of that, though, I just think this is the better game, the better playing game.
Oh, yeah. Much more. Yeah, you're absolutely right about the playability. Much more playable, much more enjoyable. Even if you don't get the stage select right away in the X series, because you'll have to complete like an initial introduction, some cutscenes, and then they'll take you through one whole little level before you get to the part where you can start selecting your bosses.
Yep, that is absolutely
your master
correct.
Robot masters.
So they changed that up a little bit. X2, which came out the very following year, you could do air dash. Which is pretty rad.
Yes.
Yeah, air dashing, dude. Yeah.
I think you could do dash in the first one, but then the second one, the air dash was much better. Because I kept trying to do an air dash when I was playing this past week in Mega Man X, the original. There's Zero, too, by the way. Zero, your buddy. Yeah. So we're getting into the era of, hey, we got Sonic, but how about a good buddy like Knuckles? Now we've got X Zero. And Zero.
Zero's a lady, yeah. Right? Wasn't she a lady, I think? Or is that a dude?
I don't know. It's a robot.
Yeah, but look at all that hair. That hair's got all kinds of hair in the back. See that?
I know Rush is a dog. I know Roll is supposed to be a female type character because Roll is supposed to be his sister. See all these puns? Rush, Roll, yeah. Rock, yeah. All the stuff we didn't get.
Shouldn't they just say Mega Woman, though, if it is a lady, I mean? Because then Mega Man, Mega Woman.
Mega Humanoid? I don't know. Like I said, once again, thanks to North America and their Mega Man, that's what we decided to call it. That's what the marketing department decided to call it. By the way, Capcom was working, the Japanese Capcom division was working with the North American. This is very common this time. They would work with the North American division, and they would kind of, defer to the region to allow them to do the marketing, right? Because that was just the smartest thing to do at the time.
Sure.
And yeah. And then you get Mega Man. Also, you get terrible box art that has nothing to do with anything. I don't want to jump the shark too much.
Yeah.
But did you see the cover art that
which one
is right below the Mega Man, the Wily Wars tweet?
Oh yeah, it's horrendous. It's horrendous.
Yeah, but they're hilarious. So, TweepX had said, hey, did you see the Mega Man 9 cover art this past week? And I was like, yes, it's actually kind of an homage to the worst cover art that ever existed. By far is the Mega Man 1 cover art. If you've never seen the Mega Man 1 cover art.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
You should look it up. But I will try to do my best to describe it here. Because a former Capcom designer, Yoshiki Okamoto, had some pretty strong feelings about had some pretty strong feelings about the North American Mega Man artwork. And he should know, he worked on titles like Final Fight and Street Fighter 2. So this is what he had to say. So the overseas version of Rockman is called Mega Man.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the package illustration? It's an old man in blue tights wearing a helmet. He's standing in a bendy crab pose with a tube in his hand.
Yeah.
And he's right. All of this is true. And I couldn't believe this was allowed to happen. It's like, I'm sure everyone hates it. I mean, we made this game together, but because it had to cross the ocean, we had to listen to the opinions of the marketing staff over there, Capcom USA, about what's appealing and popular.
Yeah.
If I had more authority then, if I was stronger, none of this would have happened. That's what I thought. As a matter of fact,
stronger.
I still think about
it. What is a weird thing to say if I was stronger? That's weird.
Yeah, so you're looking at it right now on screen. We're looking at the Mega Man 9, which is an homage to it. It looks like a full-grown – it's a full-grown man, right?
Yeah, that's a dude. It's a full-grown dude. His gun is totally wrong, the one on his arm.
Right.
He doesn't have a second freaking gun.
Like, yeah.
What is that about?
He doesn't have a second freaking gun.
He does? Not nine. He doesn't have another gun, does he?
Like I said, he doesn't need a second gun.
Oh, he doesn't
need
one.
He's got an arm blaster.
Yeah, he's got an arm gun. What does he need this for?
What is he going to do with that? What's he going to shoot with that little pea shooter?
Yeah.
But yeah, did you get a chance to look at the first one, though, with that weird crab walk guy?
Yeah,
on Mega Man.
I thought I put that one up. Didn't I put that up?
You might have. I might have missed it while I was reading. But the European version, there was. If you really want to look up the full story of Mega Man artwork, just look up that initial Mega Man first release, because they let all the local regions do their own thing, and the European one looks fan-freaking-tastic. The Japanese looks very Japanese. The America one is just trash. There it is now. That crab walking weirdo.
Look
dude.
At that.
Looks like he's in Vegas or something. I don't know what's exactly going on. Vegas is getting blown up. It's a lot of yellows and blues.
It's so bad.
It's crab walking.
So
his legs are so wrong. Look at the.
Look, I'm a huge fan of like the Atari era, and I have a whole book of these. The Atari looking all awesome and epic, and then not even coming close to the graphics of the game. That was a normal thing. You just expected it. So if you're going to get, I don't know, combat, you're going to see a really cool bunch of tanks and shit on the cover, all painted up and looking all epic. And then you were going to play the game and it was going to be all blocky and terrible. That was just the way it was. And it was fine. We were okay with that. What I'm not okay with was looks like, Jimmy, who I'm at a detention with all weekend at school because we broke a window. He's drawn this on his desk with a knife. That's what this is.
It is like a knife artwork. It's like, because you're not able to control their perspective. Even his like his center little cow thing, that like little thing that goes down. The center, it's not even between his eyebrows. It's like off to the side. There's palm trees in the background of this space.
So bad
adventure. But in the defense of the artist, he got it very last second, the request, and they didn't give him any material or to work with. They didn't give him any, you know, this is what the game looks like or anything like that. He had to make it all up from a verbal description. And apparently if you play a game of telephone about what Mega Man looks like, that's what you get.
It does. Honestly, in today's context, it feels like somebody asked one of those AI image generators to make
that's
Mega Man.
That's true. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And that's what they got.
I wonder if we could.
I just don't know who approved that. Like, at some point, again, this goes to the whole regionalization of video games in those early days. There's a lot of stuff lost in translation. And I both mean that literally and figuratively. It's like, we're trying to get this in both places. Will it work? I don't even know. Should we call it a different thing over there? I don't know. Sure, I guess. Let's call it Mega Man, not Rock Man. Let's have go as cheap as we can on translation, localization, and then also, whatever, just to have the artist hurry and whip something up. Like, it was a weird time. Now you don't do that. You just have international distribution, and it's got the same name everywhere for the most part, very rare exceptions. And you would never have...
This wouldn't have been
approved, is what I'm saying. Nobody in their right mind...
Yeah.
In any context, sees this art come across their table and goes, yep, thumbs up, go, put it to print.
And
never.
This is why I think a lot of these console makers and game makers have mostly opted for a third party. It's like, okay, we're going to put this out to a marketing firm. They're gonna know what works in regions. We don't need to do this in-house, because this is what happens when you do it in-house.
Yeah, don't do it in-house. It's lame.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Anyway, you got your X2, your X3. Let's talk about that for a second. X3, not to be confused with X-Men Last Stand.
Right.
This Mega Man X3. This is the PlayStation 1 Saturn game. Came out on both those consoles. And it's a lot. I don't know how to describe it. My memory was that this was like fully rendered out polygon stuff, but it's not. It's not.
Is side-scrolling still 2D, but you know, it's in a 3D world, but it's so freaking visually loud and so much happening. It reminds me of Turtles in Time, especially like that opening scene where you're like going across the rooftops and the bridge. It's kind of the same thing, and you got like a large character in the background constantly like looming in the background. It's a lot and loud and on Saturn and on
and on PlayStation. I mean, by all accounts, it's, you know, fun game. It's fine. But it had this intro. Would you like to hear the worst? One of the worst intros I've ever heard?
Oh, do you have an intro for this? Please give me the intro.
Well, I played just some of it. At the top of the show, you heard this guy.
Hope. Despair.
Okay, that whole thing. Well,
yeah.
Let's hear some more of that, if I can find it. Oh, you know what? This might not be it. This is for Mega Man 8. Never mind.
Is that the one with the worst dialogue ever?
Oh, yeah. Never mind. That's coming up. There are multiple Mega Man games that could probably claim they have the worst dialogue ever.
Yeah. I would say the boss fights in X4, if my notes are correct, was some of the worst.
Yeah. My biggest problem with this era is I know I have played a version of Mega Man on the PlayStation that was a remake of X1, originally a Super Nintendo title, a remake of that point for point remake, except polygonal and played in a 2D frame. But so 2.5D, we'd call it today.
Right.
I know I've played this. I've literally played it and I can't find it. I'm having the Mandela effect of a lifetime. I can't find it anywhere. So what that's called and where that is, if somebody out there's hearing me go, Scott, that's easy. It's this. Tell me, because I think I lost it this week. I lost my mind trying to find this Mega Man game that supposedly exists.
I tossed out like 20 games that Scott's like, nope, batted them down. It's like, nope. It's like this one. Nope.
None of these. And I've played it. And I'm even saying I've played it in the last 5-6 years, probably emulation somewhere. And it was ugly and bad, but it wasn't the really ugly bad one that we're going to talk about with, I guess, 8. I guess 8's the ugly one? No.
8 was
what's the third-person one? Which one's that?
Oh, I loved 8, actually, sort of, kind of.
Well, what's the third-person one? Which one's that one?
Oh, which one was it? Legends? We talked about one of them. It wasn't Legends. Which one was it? Was the third person one? Was it Legends? That's
right. Legends. That's correct.
Is that right?
Yep. Okay. We'll play that in a minute. All right. So here's 8 and some bad dialogue. Enjoy.
What do you make of these?
These? Seems to be energy resources, but I've never seen this type on Earth. I don't know where this energy came from, but cannot let it fall into Dr. Wowie's hands. You must recover all the energy immediately, Mega Man.
But where is Dr. Mega Man?
That's a good question. We may be able to locate another energy emission from the radar room. When we find that meteor, we'll find Dr. Wowie.
It's horrendous.
Dr. Wowie. I love that so much. It's like, take two? Nope.
Nope, not going to do it. Well, you stuttered through 3 words. I don't care. I'm not doing it.
I don't care. I love it.
It's amazing that even got made. Like, what standard did you have when you did that localization? None. That's somebody's grandpa or some shit, right? I probably could look that up. I didn't
Dr. Wowie.
Wowie.
Everybody was a doctor, by the way. If you were in a Mega Man, it's kind of difficult and kind of easy for Mega Man. See, you're either going to be a robot master or you're going to be a doctor of some sort. I mean, that's pretty much
deal. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right. But you're right about Legends. We'll get to Legends video and discussion here in a second. But here's
Director Walkman apparently loved that one, as he suggested.
He loved Legends.
He wanted us to talk about Greg. Legends. And I was like, I don't know if I'm getting to Legends or not. We're going to see. But
I think
You think he's having the fun with me?
I think he just knows it's bad and it would be fun to talk about, is what I think. I could be wrong. Greg, let us know. But here's the just some dialogue from Legends. Enjoy.
In a world covered by endless water, people are forced to eke out a living on the small patches of land that remain above the sea. The people of this world rely on ancient technology driven by quantum refractors, a powerful energy source.
It's that kind of stuff.
I could go to sleep to this.
No, you couldn't.
I mean, not in a bad way. I mean, like, this is good. This is like audiobook level stuff, right?
Well, here's more.
The Mother Lode, a treasure so great that if it were discovered, it would provide so much power that the world never need fear running out of energy.
Oh my gosh. No. No, I don't have to fear that anymore. What? Oh,
I like that. I actually like that. I actually could dig it. I could see.
Sounds like I assume that's supposed to be Mega Man. You know, the kid.
Yeah. That's supposed to be our character. It's supposed to be Mega Man.
Yeah, but then it sounded like this. Oh no! You know what this is? I take it back. That's the X3 intro on the PlayStation. That's actually good. I like that one a lot.
Oh, yeah. Once we move, I don't think we've officially said, well, yeah, once we move to the PlayStation stuff, I guess we did officially say it, but Mega Man X3, once we get there and we get the full motion video anime stuff and the full, you know, the full music on the CD quality music.
All that stuff is so good. Here's some more. Just stuff sounded crispy and chunky and. Yeah.
It did.
Sound production went way up, although voice acting, still pretty bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
X4, I think those bosses that I was telling you about on that, I don't know if I posted that YouTube link, Lake, but that boss, those boss VO in X4 in 97 on the PlayStation and the Saturn, woo, that was some good times.
It was
man.
Good times. Here's the thing, though. I'm not sure this is a whole topic for a show sometime. Maybe it is, but I'll just say this. The decision to have your character speak is a dangerous one. I think of it as like when the movie industry went from silent pictures to talkies.
Yeah.
And the sheer shock that can happen when your character goes from being a silent protagonist to a whiny little shithead is dangerous. And so why, like Mario, Nintendo gets a lot of credit for a lot of things, a lot of heat for other things. There's something they deserve a ton of credit for, and I want to give that to them now, and that is the decision to take Mario vocally in the direction that they did. Some people would say, well, it's a little stereotype, don't you think? It's, whatever. Yeah. Take that out of the equation for a second. They made just really a simple thing. He says a lot of woo-hoos and yeah, and simple little teeny phrases. He doesn't go and do a bunch of dialogue, and in our Sonic episode, we talked about this. The opposite happened there. Where you had your silent hedgehog. Oh, now we have voice tech. What should we do? Hey, man, that's radical. I'm Sonic the Hedgehog. Huge mistake. Huge.
I agree 100%. So and you know what?
I Mega Man, same thing. Any of these games. Like, when you decide to give them a voice, you got to really think about it and really decide what's best to do. Like, if they keep making future Half-Life games, please do not let Gordon Freeman have a voice. It's a mistake. Yeah. He's silent from the get-go, so you got to respect it from the get-go and don't tweak it too much or do it the wrong direction, or you're going to just put everybody off. Video games have this weird little thing where if you do that and you do it wrong, we're all annoyed for eternity. And I know that we're kind of okay with Sonic now. People like those movies. There's cartoons that are popular. Oh, I get it, and I know there's diehard Sonic people who love that stuff. But the minute he went radical, I wanted to put a knife in my chode. All right, that's my go off.
No, right that's there. Actually a really good point. I think you're absolutely right. Now the Mega Man voice didn't bother me too much. I felt like that was kind of on par with the character. Plus, we'd already seen the animated stuff by that point, that kind of fit with what it was doing. So I'm okay with that. But you're absolutely right.
You'll let that one go. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, you definitely got to be careful. And I don't understand why people say that Mario is a stereotype, because I don't think of Italians who that's kind of what we're saying, right? He's an Italian plumber. Isn't that the whole, that's the whole gimmick. I've never heard an Italian sound like Mario. I actually think that I feel like what Mario gave me makes me want to apply that to, to Italian plumbers, not the other way around. So I don't think.
That's a good point, actually. But they did a really great job with Link. Someone in the chat mentioned it. I'll concur. Link has always just been, lots of noises, but not talking. If he suddenly one day went, well, hello, I'm Link. And he did that in that cartoon they made briefly. And that was bad. That was really bad. But in the games, they've kept that under wraps. The same thing is true of Samus. They don't have Samus saying a bunch of stuff. Good. That's the way it should be. Nintendo knows this.
It should be.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why that's true, Scott, is because when we play these characters, when we play as these characters, we put our own voices into them. And when you have a strong voice, it's hard for me to wiggle myself into that position anymore. Now it feels like I'm playing another person instead of playing first person. Like I'm playing the character.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. But also, the value of a silent protagonist is that you get to fill in the blanks.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you get to pour yourself into the character.
Yeah, and that to me is more valuable than fleshing out every part of its personality. Now, that being said, I don't want Nathan Drake to be without a voice and a personality. I think the one they gave him is perfect.
Yeah.
But you can't in 30 years go, what if Nathan Drake sounded like this? Hello, my name is Nathan Drake, and I'm going to set shit on fire. Like, if they just changed him, that would be a bad. Huge mistake. So anyway, yeah. I think that's a fun sub discussion.
Oddly, I'm of an age that the most nervous I was ever was when they said they were going to make a Garfield animated cartoon. Mm. And I was like, and there was so much hubbub around what voice are they going to give him?
Yeah.
And it ended up being a great choice, but it was, that was a tough call.
That's a hard call, and you can do it. I'm not saying it can't be done, because it can. It's just it needs a light touch. It needs somebody who's really thinking about it, and don't just go straight to, well, what are the kids like? Well, they like skateboarding. Radical. F off. Those were adults making those horrible decisions for the youth of the day. Yeah. All right. Sorry, that was a little side note.
No, that was a great topic. I loved it. That was good. That was right on point.
Now, Mega Man 7, this is where it gets weird, because 7 is a SNES game, it's an SNES game, right. 1995, and the only classic Mega Man you get on the Super Nintendo.
Right.
But then 8 ends up on the PlayStation, along with X3 and X4, which were those original games, but with better sound and also weird anime intros and interstitials.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think.
Right. I think that sounds right.
And then 8 was the first proper, hey, we're on PlayStation now. Here's a brand new game. And we talked about 8. 8 is this one.
What do you make of these?
That whole thing.
it was the first classic on the PlayStation, but I think Mega Man X3 was a few years before.
It was. That came out in 96, but X3 was just a upscale of X3 on... Wait, was that on the Super Nintendo?
95. Because the X3 on the SNES and the PlayStation 1... pretty much the same game, except for the music and what was it else? So it's a couple of things. Full motion video, because you didn't have that on the SNES carts.
Yeah.
You need a multimedia for that.
And we don't even want to get into the network. What were those called?
Battle Network. Well, what was it?
We didn't include these in our notes, because we're not getting into that side. And I know there's some people that really like that crap. But there's this whole thing where is it here?
People like that crap.
Mega Man Powered Up. That was a PSP game. Mega Man ZX, Mega Man Zero.
Battle Network says Dark
Battle Gamer. Network. There it is. There's a whole series of those. There's some Japanese stuff that never made it over here, like Rockman Zover, whatever the hell that is. Rockman 11 came out in Japan, never came out here. Of course, you can see him in a modern way in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate on the Switch right now. But anyway, my point is, it started to go off in some really branchy ways. We're not going that far. Partly because it doesn't fit our kind of retro definition. But at the same time, there's too much of it. There's so much.
There gets to be
it's insane. A lot. It's insane to me. Is this the most? I'm not going to say it's the most, because I don't actually know this, but it feels a bit like, I thought Pac-Man had a ton of iterations.
Right.
I don't think that's anything close to Mega Man.
I think Mega Man is tops here. I don't have no facts to back that up, but Mega Man, the character, is in over 100 games, according to some things I read. And I think there's at least 37 plus proper kind of games. And it's not like Pac-Man where they keep going, okay, this is the Pac-Man, but we're going to put it on every console. They more go, okay, here's a new console. Here's 8 more Mega Mans.
Yeah.
New stuff. Yeah. And very infrequently do they do ports and stuff. It's just pretty much a Mega Man.
Yeah.
You need a Mega Man? I got a Mega Man for you. Let's do Mega Man.
You want some Mega Man? Here. Check this out. This is the SNES Mega Man. Oh, this intro. Oh, see, listen how that just is rocking.
Yeah. Some people preferred that.
Yeah, no. I think it was me. Here's some gameplay. I think I'm the one. I think you and I are on the same page on most of this Mega Man business, but I think we're a little bit opposite on the direction the Super Nintendo took it. compared to where it was on the NES. You're more of the classic guy with the weird kid face. Yeah. You know, it's fine, Brian. I don't judge you for this.
I like Mega Man and his weird face, you know, and I learned some deep dive stuff as well about the original Mega Man. The sprite, they had two sprites for the Mega Man. They had one for his face and one for his body. So you can literally just have his face floating around if you got some cheats.
Yeah. Is that true? I want to do that. Can I do that?
Yeah. I just want Mega Face, and he makes all the weird faces. So it's kind of cool because they they were able to, animate it differently, so he could actually be doing one motion and then his face could be doing something else. It didn't always have to tie into this one single sprite. So yeah. I thought it was a pretty unique solution to something. Plus, they gave them the ability, because in the classic series, I'm not sure about X, but in the classic series, he definitely changes colors to represent certain
Definitely. Yeah, some of that. He's only blue for bits of it. Yeah. So, if you had to pick a favorite, I mean, you kind of already said earlier, but would you, what would you lock in on and say, okay, they're only letting me take one cartridge to my death. I'm going to have this last thing on this island. It's all I'm going to ever have again. Which Mega Man game do you play?
I think Mega Man, since I'm classic, I think we got to Mega Man 4 and the original Mega Man X. Those tickle my fancy the most. So it's good. I'm going to have to give you my top three because I don't think I could just pick one. Screw you.
Think I'm
Mega Man 4, Mega Man the first X, and then Mega Man 7, maybe? I think on 8. No, 8. I'm going to go with 8.
You're going with 8?
On the PlayStation.
Okay.
On the PlayStation, yeah.
All right. I'm only going to take X3 for the Saturn, I think.
That's what I'm taking.
Or the PlayStation, whichever version I can get my hands on.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. It's very expensive to get that on the Saturn, but the PSX is much more affordable.
Oh, yeah, right. And if you're trying to find it now, freaking good luck.
Yeah. It is good, too. Yeah, I like it, too. It's one of my favorites.
Quick note here about the Saturn. I just wanted to stick this in here. This week, I found a game on there called Mass Destruction. Had you ever heard of that?
It sounds familiar. Let me take a look. Let me take a visual look at that.
I don't know if that's easy to find or if it's hard to get or whatever, but... I just said the same thing twice. If it's easy to find or hard to get. No, I guess those are two different things. But one implies the other. You know what I mean? So I didn't have to say both. Anyway, the point is...
I don't think I know this one. So this is a third-person action game?
Okay. Yeah. So it's like you're a little tank, and you go on missions. And it's like, all right, you got to go burn down these four villages and then take the stuff.
So you're the good guy. Okay.
You're the good guy. Go ahead. And, man, I'm pretty sure I played this game back then. But anyway, this week while I was... dinking around with Mega Man stuff, for some reason this comes up in a search I did, and I went, wait, that game, I know that game. Did a little research. I own the disc, don't know where it is now, but couldn't find it. Ended up tracking the ROM down. I think we may need to do like combat likes, like a whole episode on like Atari combat, this what's that 3DO game everyone loved with the I had that music the whole time, Flight of the Valkyrie, forgot the name of the game. But it was very similar to this. The entire Strike series from EA, Soviet Strike, Vietnam Strike, or Jungle Strike, Desert Strike, all those. There's something about those games. They're almost like, hey, what if we did Choplifter, but also had like 10 other objectives that weren't just picking people up, you know?
Right.
Those
right.
kind of games. I love those games.
This sounds like a good deal. Yeah, we should do this sometime.
So that was just a weird, I'm a total side note, but also just a weird thing to run into while you're doing research for Mega Man. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Weird.
Agreed.
It's weird. Very good.
Weird Mega Man.
Weird Mega Man. Mega Man. I just wanted to do it in that guy's voice. all right. Well, there's all your Mega Men. And Brian, anything else we missed or should mention or talk about with this?
We've missed a million things. I mean, we didn't even get into the Reploids and the Mavericks and how all that works out in Mega Man, the X series. And we didn't get into Mega Man and Bass.
Like a Mega Man anime or something? Does that exist?
There's anime. There's a couple of animes. I prefer the one that was in the 90s. The first episode is, they have all the original six baddies, robot masters from the original Mega Man, and they've got Rush in there. They've got Roll. They just got so many things. There's so much Mega Man. We couldn't even come close to covering it, but I feel like we've had a good time. Mega Man.
Oh yeah, it's good, about as good as you're gonna get. And if you want to get a game, games that are a lot like Mega Man, there's too many to mention, but I will mention a couple. The 20XX game that was made buy the, it's, I mean, people were excited about this Kickstarter because it was the dude what made the original, right? It was, I think it was him.
I think that's right.
And a lot of people loved it. I like it a lot. Brian gifted it to me, which surprised me. Thank you for that, by the way.
Oh, surprise, sucker.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Well, I was picking it up for myself, and I was like, hey, what would I want to do if Steam got a, if Scott got a Steam Deck, and, you know, we, you know, he'll send, maybe if I do this, he'll
yeah, maybe I'll get him a Steam Deck. Yeah, exactly. this will probably play on my Steam Deck. But anyway, this game's like procedurally generated, roguelike, but it feels like you're playing Mega Man. And I personally think that's great. Give me a new way to play Mega Man. Some of the old time fans, like I said, they're super picky and they didn't love the direction. But what are you gonna do? You can't please you can't please 80% of those people. So it's totally fine. And if you're one of quote unquote those people, I'm not calling you out. Well, I guess I am. You know what I am? I'm calling you out. Quit being so picky. There.
You're being a big baby. Stop it.
Yeah, quit being a big baby. The anime I was thinking of is this thing called Mega Man Upon a Star. And it came out in Japan. Let's see. What's the year? 94 came out in Japan. It was called Rockman Wishing Upon a Star. Here they just changed it Upon a Star. And loosely adapts the events of Mega Man 5 with original story elements. So if you want to watch that DVD, that is available. I think you can Crunchyroll it now. Let's see.
Oh, Crunchyroll. Do you think Mega Man, like on the DS and the... You know, the portable handhelds and stuff. You think that's even a better place to play Mega Man?
I like that stuff. Yeah. Mega Man for the, actually, let me tell you real quick here. Mega Man, the Game Boy Advance had, those were all the Battle Network ones was the Game Boy Advance, right? That's where all that showed up.
I think you're right.
Pretty sure that's where that showed up. That is.
I didn't get too deep in the research on that one.
Yeah, those are cool games. Those are good. They're weird and different, but they're cool.
Good point, Dark Redeemer. Dark Redeemer, obviously a huge Mega Man fan and of the genre, mentioning Mighty No. 9. That is a great...
Oh, Mighty No. 9. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah. And there's, I don't know, there's many, many more that we could mention. But Mega Man, hugely influential. Worth discussing, I think. A powerful... impact on the retro games
I will say this about Mega Man. I love me some Mega Man merch.
I
love me some Mega Man merch. I especially was tempted this past week. I found some Mega Man found me. Mega Man headphones. They are sweet looking. Let me see if I can find the look. Yeah, Mega Man headphones. They're Capcom Mega Man blue headphones, and man, they look fantastic. They got a gold version too. But I'm always a little apprehensive about getting merch of headphones.
Yeah,
because it's always style above substance. I have a certain baseline level, if you'll pardon the pun, of the quality I expect from the audio. And it always seems like these are sub that. But yeah, I would love to get me some Mega Man headphones.
In 2012, I did a sketch. Oh, by the way, I put the Amiibo up on screen. I would love that.
Oh, the Amiibo is so freaking cool.
Yeah, I would love that. That's very classic. That's like old school when he was a 10-year-old. here's a sketch I did. Nobody at home can see this, but I apologize. But it's I did it back in 2012, and for some reason it's
that looks like a man.
Yeah, he's a Mega Man who's he looks very tired and maybe a little late. I don't know what he's doing, but I drew that forever ago.
Oh, I actually love that. I love that he's wearing a watch too, and he's got like speckles and dirts coming out of his.
That's the way I do it, man. Everybody's a little gross. I don't draw attractive people. It's not my job.
There, finally, I found the link. I posted in the Discord. There's those stupid headphones.
Oh, I mean, it'd be cool to hang those somewhere, but I'll bet you're right. They probably don't sound very good.
Yeah, they're probably trash.
They probably sound like crap. And, you know, who could blame you for trying, I guess?
Not me.
All right. Well, let's move on then. We got to do this today because that's what we do.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess My Game. We both have old audiobooks, audio clips.
Yeah, we have audiobooks. I love the idea. We have audiobooks.
Audiobooks. I don't know why I said that. We have audio clips. And in these clips, we have captured something from yesteryear, and we have to try to guess what each other's is. I'll start, and I'll give you both a year and a platform. Are you ready for this?
Give me your year and your platform.
2005 is the year.
Okay. Okay.
The Nintendo DS is your platform.
Oh.
And the only other hint I would say is think about my state of mind right now. Okay.
Okay.
That'll help you. Here we go.
It'll help.
Here's your clip.
Pokemon.
Nope. You might know this. I'm a little worried I've done it before.
Yeah. So you said it's been on your mind, so it's going to be either... You said you looked at pinball stuff. So it's not Pokemon, you said, but so it's got to be in the pinball area, right?
Ah, interesting.
And that intro music was Metroid, right?
Yeah. So.
It is like a Metroid pinball?
It is Metroid Prime pinball. That is correct.
That's right. And that because that is Metroid Prime music.
Uh-huh.
Up and down, which I load all the time on my GameCube. When I'm testing stuff, it was one of the first discs I got when I started getting into retro.
I love this game, and I think I may have done it on the show before. And if I did, I apologize to listeners, but I really like it that much that I actually don't care that I already did it. I was playing it the other day again, reminded how much I like it, how good it still looks. That DS version is a sexy freaking video game. And the only complaint I really have about it is because if you're playing on a DS, it's fine. But even then, I don't like that there has to be a chunk of space between screens and the ball has to travel in the blind spot there.
Right.
It's you get used to it, but aesthetically, I wish it scrolled.
Right.
That would be cool. But it's a beautiful game. It's got all the sounds and music and like kind of vibes of the Prime games, which again was, you know, the whole hotness then, which is why it's called that. And it's a really fun objective. Shit. Why was that so hard to say? What the heck is wrong with me today? Anyway, it's the heat, man. It's the heat.
I thought it was the spice. What is it? Is it the heat?
It was 102 degrees here today. It was freaking boiling.
You've given me the forgetfuls.
It was so hot today. Anyway, point is, if you want a good game of pinball, and you can find it on cartridge. Get it for your DS. I loved it back then. I love it now. Highly recommend it. I think I'll stream some of it soon. I know people don't love sitting watching pinball. Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't know if people care.
I do. I like watching pinball.
Yeah, I like watching pinball too. So I may stream some of this. We'll see. Anyway, highly recommend that. All right. Hey, Brian, you got that. Let me see if I can get yours. Tell me the year and a hint.
The year is 1990, and I personally played this on the Windows, specifically the DOS box. Well, it wasn't DOS box then. It was just DOS.
Yeah.
It was on the Amiga, the Atari, and the Mac OS, as well as the TurboGrafx CD.
All right. That's a fair start. By the way, you were technically playing it on a box that had DOS installed. So you can look at it that way.
Yes. Yeah. It was still, I guess, a DOS
box. It was a DOS box. Right. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Let's
it uses the SCUM engine. That's how you know it.
That is a good hint. Yeah. I like that hint. Yeah. Here we go.
There's Hetchel. And the elders don't look at all pleased with her.
You have heard the findings of this council, Dame Hetchel. Have you anything to say in your own defense?
My elders, my actions speak for themselves. This reckless defiance is intolerable. Any secret you share with Signa's son might be turned against us.
His talent is awakening, and the power is very strong in him. We dare not desert him now.
Stubborn old fool! Who are you to decide such things?
Enough, Lachesis. Hetchel, I am grieved to see your many years of service end in such disgrace.
My destiny is yours.
I'm not sure. It's probably a point-and-click adventure game.
By your own choices.
LucasArts? Games.
So it's LucasArts. Day of the Tentacle?
Nope.
Okay, hold on. That's not my final answer.
They said the name at the very end of that clip.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Let me play the very end. Whoops. Let me turn the volume up so I can hear it. Okay, here we go.
Play like the last 10 seconds.
Hetchel, the fabric of your life has been woven by your own choices.
Gaze once more upon the great loom, if you would know.
Oh, loom! I remember Loom.
Yeah, what a fantastic adventure game. Graphic adventure.
I forgot. Boy, what an amazing voice work that is. I love that.
Voice. I was blown away by the voice. A lot of it's very quiet once you get into the game. But some of that early stuff, man, I was like, oh, God, I used to love the setup for this game. It was just so good. I'm about to watch a movie. Yeah, digging it.
Oh, yeah, Loom was cool. I'm looking at it now. I mean, graphically, it's a little rough, but that's what you get in 90.
Yeah.
It's on Steam? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
For and 16.
And the Scum Engine there, too. So.
$16 on Steam. Jeez.
It ain't cheap right now.
No.
You can certainly find it cheaper.
No.
Yeah, no. I'm going to say no Loom for me today, please.
But yeah, today. But I... Who has it cheap? Oh, GOG has it pretty low. Good Old Games has it at a good price.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway,
You need to get like a Lucasfilm Games like collection is what you probably need to find Loom in. I think that's how I have it somewhere. It's like as part of a collection.
Are you excited about that new Monkey Island game that's coming out?
I am. That's one of the reasons why I got down this hole of Loom.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Down your Loom hole.
My Loom hole.
Check it out.
Welcome to the treasure room.
When we get emails here on the show, they come to us at playretroshow@gmail.com. That's playretroshow@gmail.com. And you could be like Dan, who wrote in, and he says, I know it's not that old, but I'd love to hear you guys do a deep dive on the Legacy of Kain series. Oh, it's old enough. You'll be
it's
fine.
It's 90s, baby. It's old.
It's old if it's in the 90s. The gameplay wasn't the greatest, but the storyline and voice acting were without equal, in my opinion. It makes the games replayable for the cutscenes alone. When you guys get around to dipping your toes into the Final Fantasy pool also, are you planning on splitting it up so that certain games, 7, X, X2, etc., get a little more exploration? I mean, if we do Final Fantasy, we're likely going to stay in the 7 and under.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to guess. But also, that's a beast. I don't even want to think about FF until we're ready. Like, that's just so much.
not after Mega Man.
No,
I need a break.
No, we need a break. We need a break, especially because I don't think Brian and I were not like notable old school Final Fantasy players. John Jagger from the Core Show, he is a nut about it and has replayed them recently, even those pixel remasters. He just loves all things Final Fantasy. So maybe we get him in for a guest shot for something like that. But right now, you know, no direct or immediate intention to tackle that. But yeah, we'll get there. To your original point, Legacy of Kain, I don't know if I've said this out loud before, one of my favorite video games of all time. I love that game. Played the hell of it on my PlayStation 2 different times because I lost saves at one point or lost memory card kit or whatever. I know it sucked. But I was happy to play it again because it's so good. And that led to other games. There's a whole background about Crystal Dynamics and Silicon Knights, these two companies fighting over who had actual rights to keep making things based on the franchise. The Soul Reaver follow-up games were also excellent, but completely different than the original Legacy of Kain thing. Legacy of Kain is really one of the all-time greats, and I remember thinking the gameplay was pretty good, but I'm going to get it this week, and I'm going to play it again, and we're going to see. Because why? Because you inspired us. That's our next episode. Legacy of Kain. Wait, I need some sound for this. Legacy of Kain. It's the next week here on Play Retro. And we'll start with Blood Omen, which is technically the name of the first game.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited because I've only played a little bit of Legacy of Kain. But it's really, I mean, this show is all about me getting the chance to finally play all those games that I only got to play a little bit back in the day. That's the whole Mega Man thing. I was like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't played Mega Man that much. I want to really get deep into it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Get Legacy of Kain. And Chatrooms Gang, amazing story, janky gameplay. I get it. And it probably doesn't hold up. It's been a while since I dipped in. But I loved the story and the atmosphere so much. It made up for whatever gameplay limitations there were. Maybe I'll see it through fresh eyes this time and be a little more scrutiny there. Probably will. But we still need to talk about it. We need to talk about whether or not those games have any legs for something in the future. And it's been canceled and recanceled a million times. It's time, man. I even have a local Utah connection with Soul Reaver, which I'll save for next week. But also sorts of stuff to talk about. Yeah, we'll save it for the show. Legacy of Kain, and thank you, Dan, for inspiring our next episode. We got a bunch of ideas in the back you know, the backlog that we're considering doing, but this just jumped out as an interesting one. So we're going to dive into it.
Yeah. And a lot of people on the Patreon, I think somebody mentioned Legacy of Kain before. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely been, it's much beloved.
Yeah. It very much is. Chad says the original PS1 load times were horrendous. You're right. They were. I'm hoping when I emulate it this week, it will not be as horrendous because the load times were almost a game in themselves.
I hope it's a 1-to-1 experience. I hope my load time is as horrendous as it was back in the day. So I can,
some of those are so bad, Brian, you could make a game out of it. It's like, can I pee before this load time finishes? I would do it sometimes.
I'd do it. Run pee.
Yeah. Run pee. Run pee, run. Anyway, that's Legacy of Kain and its various games next week right here on Play Retro. Very much looking forward to that. Okay, a couple things. Chat room, stick around. We're giving away a bunch of keys today.
Okay,
I didn't even tell Brian about this, but listener and Frog Pants regular and programmer and game maker, Wasim, put a game together and has it on Steam currently called AV Racer. And I thought this was appropriate for this show because AV Racer, it will remind you of things like Super Sprint and the top-down racers of yesteryear, super off-road, that kind of stuff. It's very much in that vein, and it's really, really fun, and we're going to give away 10 codes today. I'm sorry, 9, because Brian's getting one of these codes.
Oh, 8, because Brian's getting one.
7, because I already got one. So you definitely are getting one. So however, whatever we have left, we're going to give away at the end of the show. So if you have Steam and you want to get a free code, we'll be doing random giveaways right after the show. So stick around for that, okay? Okay. I think that's it. Oh, quick shout out to our good pals over on Patreon, patreon.com/playretro. If you haven't joined up, now's the time to do it. You could be like Ray Hargis and Brent, who both signed up here recently. Brent's just got his name. Hey, Brent. What's up, Brent? And they're taking advantage of the awesome levels and great benefits of supporting your favorite video game podcast. So if you like Play Retro and want to show it with a couple of bucks, you can do that over at patreon.com/playretroshow. Brian, I think that's everything. Oh, we're Play Retro on Twitter. Play Retro Show on Twitter, I should say.
That's right.
PlayRetroShow@gmail.com and, of course, frogpants.com/playretroshow. Reach out to us anytime on Twitter as well. Brian's at the Brian. No, you're just, you're the Brian Dunaway.
Yeah, on Twitter, the Brian Dunaway. On Twitch, it's Brian Dunaway.
It throws me off every time. I don't know why.
You're welcome.
I'm at Scott Johnson, which I had to wrangle from a guy named Scott Johnson. So there's that.
There can only be one.
There's a story. Like, that guy, I got it from him because he was like, I don't need it. Because I reached out and asked. I said, you barely posted this. Do you need it? He says, I don't even use it. You can have it. Gave it to me. About a year and a half later, I get a message. I was really hoping to get that back. I'm, thinking about going harder on the Twitter. And I said, oh, that's too bad because I'm good.
You can suck it.
Yeah, you can suck it. There are too many Scott Johnsons to let this one go, dude. Anyway. Yeah.
I don't know how many Brian, I don't know how many the copyright guy who has mine on Twitter. I don't know how many people follow him thinking that that's me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm already seeing there's at least 5 or 6 people that follow me that follow him, and we have no connection. So I know it's because they thought that was me.
Yeah. They thought it was you, and they were wrong.
Yeah.
Dumbasses. Anyway, that's it. We're done with the show. Thank you all for listening. I don't mean forever. I just mean for now. we'll be back next week with our Legacy of Kain episode and much more. Between now and then, go play something retro. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Who can say what truly motivates the diggers?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts.
Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien Podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.